From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Media, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So today we are not going to have our preliminaries. We're going to go straight into the conversation with our co-host, Albin Boucher. It's been a rough 2 weeks, I would say, and the events of this weekend, for those of you who tuned in last week, you know that I had a death in the family. And so just kind of getting over the last couple of days with the funeral stuff. I just didn't have the energy to really come on and do the whole spiel, which is also, I think I'm just tired. That's where my voice sounds kind of like in and out. But I do try to pep it up a little bit with the conversation with Albin. So either way, guys, thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. And we are going to move on to our meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with our co-host, Albin. Albin, say hello.
Good afternoon. How you doing? What's going on?
Nothing much. How are you doing? It's been a little while.
It's been a while. It's been a while. A lot of things have been happening. All is well on this side. How are you?
I mean, you know, the viewers know, or the listeners rather, from last week know that I was dealing with the death in the family. And so that was finally laid to rest on Friday. So we're just trying to move forward, you know, wanted to make sure that we had a show for today. Didn't want to keep the listeners, you know, at the edge of their seats. So
I respect that. Yeah. People been asking when the next one was coming.
Right. So,
yeah,
right.
I'm glad we're here.
Right. There's a lot of people that, you know, that tune in.
Yeah. I was like, okay. RP Nation in the building. I was like, all right, y'all waiting. We coming. We got
you. They know that there was a lot of stuff happening in the news this week. So they're just like, are they going to talk about it? So we have a couple of things. Yeah, we have a couple of things today. You know, there's something else that I actually wanted to. We made a list, guys, before we got on here. Like, what are we going to talk about today? Because there's so much. And just making sure that, like, some of the things that we talk about, like, you know, let it make sense to talk about them, right? Because sometimes it might not make sense to talk about them right now, but there was one thing that I did want to put on the list, but I'm not sure, Albin, if you want to talk about it. It's your boy, Kanye, your mentor, Kanye West, your mentor. Yay. He's been acting up in these streets. And I don't know if you are ready, willing, and able to talk about how your mentor is out here acting up with Kim Kardashian on some, like, it's like, I feel like he's treating the audience as, like, you know, the child custody jury. He's asking us for everything.
So first off, with everything, I want to preface it. Kanye is an icon. He is somebody that came in the game. He was somebody very influential to me when I was young. Don't laugh. I'm being for real. You know what I mean? Kanye is the man. Like, let's just be real. Like, he is the culture, right? Where he is now with him and Kim, it's on all sides. It's just messy. It's not a good look. There's obviously something missing from Kanye for the past few years. He's kind of been a little bit of a decline, a little bit. You know, when you kind of look at his actions, his maneuvers, the things that he said, the things that he's been doing. And it's just tough. It's just tough to see somebody that I really respected has kind of taken a little bit of a decline. It's just messy on all ends. And I just hope everybody kind of figures it out. But yeah, you know what I mean? I'm praying for Kanye, man, because that's messy. On all ends, that's messy. Calling out your baby moms, the four kids, trying to talk to TMZ. It's just not a good look, man, especially when we got kids in the mix. It's just not a good look. But Kanye is who he is. He is a visionary. He has his own trumpet that he's going to blow. But it's just messy on all ends. You know, I think, you know, Kim is a Libra. You know, Kim is a Libra, so we're gonna be classy about it. We're not gonna violate, you know, we're gonna play the game the right way. But he's pushing her. She's being pushed. And she's like, listen, that's how she came out with that statement. Like, I've been trying to be peaceful about this, I've been trying to co-parent, I'm not gonna do the media thing. And Kanye needs to get it together. Somebody needs to pull Kanye to the side. And just, he needs somebody real around him. Cause he's gonna be like, yo, bro, you're bugging. Like, and he has a lot of great things happening. He has the Donda Sports. Mm-hmm. He has the Donda School. He has Yeezy. Like, just stay there. You know what I mean? Like, just stay. Like, we don't need to see you with Antonio Brown and all these other like questionable athletes. Like, just get money, influence mm-hmm. the culture, and just fix the relationship with Kim, and just make sure you're a good co-parent to your kids. But he want to be outside. He want to, you know, with these big boots. You know what I mean? With these like weird clothes.
These oversized jackets.
these 1985 jackets. These dark. It's like, yo, bro, like, just be cool, man. Like,
maybe he's in mourning. He's not. Maybe he could be in mourning. Mourning for. I mean, I think he's still mourning his mother. I think he might be mourning his relationship with Kim. Even.
Yeah. There's obviously some pain there. There's obviously some pain. And I just think the outlets he's taking are not healthy. So I'm just praying for peace, man. I'm praying that he gets it together, because it's not a good look. It's not a good look. And, you know, it's kind of like, kind of not to get biblical, but it goes back to the verse, like, what profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? And I think we're seeing that. It's like, do you remember the streets when College Dropout came out?
No, I was in college. Yeah, like, I remember.
Like,
that, I was in was, college.
That, like, people were like, whoa, like, because before then, college was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the Spellman. It was like, you know, I'm trying to be like on different world. When he came out with that thing, people were like, that's a good point. Like, And like, he changed the culture. But he came out with the Jesus walks and
mm-hmm.
like, he's the man. But now it's like, yo, bro, like, you could drink a little bit of the Kool-Aid, man. You got to go back to Chicago and, like, get back to the people, man. Like, this is weird.
Right, so, right.
That's my two cents, man. Pray for Kanye and Kim, man. But they're good. They got a belly. They figured out.
I mean, they got money, yeah. I think for me, you know, I can't take away Kanye's musical genius. You know, like, he is who he is when it comes to that, right? I think... for me, this whole Kanye and Kim stuff being played out on the internet, on the interwebs, you know, a lot of people have like been questioning it. Yes. But I think what I've been seeing more so is people kind of wanting to advocate for like dad rights, men's rights. Right. Like, I feel like Kanye is trying to rally this, like, dads have rights too, men have rights too. Right.
Right.
And although I agree that men have rights when it comes to like child custody, I think that, you know, him wanting to be close to his kids and wanting to be connected with his kids and to be informed with what's happening with his kids is very important. I think him wanting to be a part of his children's life is very important. But I think that people just, you know, I feel like people shouldn't like lose sight of the fact of how he's going about it. Right. And I think that a lot of times when we talk about messiness within our community, like stepping outside of the celebrity eye and the celebrity world, there's a lot of this same back and forth that happens. Right. Like, what Kanye is doing is not necessarily abnormal. Like, this happens all the time in like our communities where people are going back and forth, slinging mud, and doing all this other stuff. And a lot of times men feel like there isn't a lot of support. There isn't assistance for them when they're trying to essentially do the right thing. I think here people are questioning, like, what is the right thing? Like, is Kanye truly trying to do the right thing, or is he just doing all of this for like either the press or to really get under like Kim's skin, right? So I know people have been talking about, like, you know, when it comes to men, you know, wanting to like rear their children and take active roles, like, what is the best way to go about it if you're dealing with a significant other or a former significant other, I guess, that's like, you know, I guess stonewalling or having all the power. So for many, that's what the Kanye situation is bringing up. Like, he's a dad trying to do what he has to do, like the TikTok situation. I don't know if you heard about that, how North has a TikTok and he's like, you know, what about me? Like, where was my say so in her having this TikTok account? Do you think that was extra on his part? Or do you think that, you know, as a father, he should also have a right to make even like minor, what I call it minor, but he doesn't call it minor, but decisions like his child getting on TikTok and being showcased on social media?
At the end of the day, he is a co-parent. He is the parent of their child, and he has the right to voice his opinion on whether he wants his daughter on TikTok or not. Mm-hmm. That was a conversation that needed to happen because North is not well equipped to understand what actually happened on social media, or I don't think she understands what's going on between her parents right now. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Kanye. In the same breath as that, that's something that I think they probably should have kept indoors, man. Like, this is getting real too personal. Like, that seems like a Wednesday night type of conversation. Like, we weren't even supposed to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's I don't know, man. Like, this whole celebrity thing in America, man, it's our export. You know what I mean? Like, it's our thing. Like, this is what we sell. We sell drama, we sell scandal, we sell pain. And it's just really hard to see all this play out in the public eye. But Connie is absolutely right. As a dad, as men, there are a lot of rights that we don't get. As men, there are a lot of things, a lot of voices that are silenced just because of stereotypes or just because of the past instances of absentee dads and a prison industrial complex and things of that nature. We do have a right. We do need to stand up because there are men out here that are trying to take care of their kids. So shout out to Kanye on that. But I would just say, just try to keep as many of this stuff indoors as possible because it's getting really messy. And it seems like a very painful situation for both of them.
Right, right. Yeah, I really do. I mean, I hope they figure it out. But I think more so, I just hope that when people are observing this, that they are not taking what they're doing to be like, this is how we go about getting to a resolution, right? This is how we go about getting to an answer and working together, like airing your business out and asking for the public to give what should be done or what's right, what's wrong. It's not the way to do things. And I what I fear is that because Kanye and Kim are such public figures, that many people are going to like see this and think that, okay, this is how I'm going to go about the next time when homeboy doesn't answer my phone. I'm going to do an Instagram live and put him on blast, because unfortunately people do that, right? Like they fall into these traps. And so
it's just pain. It's just pain. It's just pain. And like, you know, I think that's why we got to highlight mental health. It's just pain and just dealing with that pain.
Right.
You know, everybody's dealing with something, and it's obvious that he's hurting. He's right. Hurting from something. He's hurting. And I'm just praying that he finds what he's looking for, man, because this ain't it.
So now something else that came up in the news that caused a lot of like controversy. I feel like everything we're going to talk about today was a little controversial, but the Michael K. Williams situation, sure. Right? So like earlier in the week, you know, there was like news articles and everything basically stating that, you know, there were four men that were involved in selling Michael K. Williams like the lethal dose of drugs, right? And that they've been apprehended, NYPD did a whole investigation, and you know, they're charged and everything right now. And so as amazing as that sounds, right? Like, wow, they found the men, you know, that dealt, you know, Michael K. Williams the drugs. I think a lot of people were kind of confused as like, wait, there was an investigation for this? Like, at least this is what, you know, the commentary has been like on social media, where there is a camp of individuals who are like, this is great, amazing job, NYPD, like justice for Michael K. Williams. But I think many were also just kind of confused because they're like, wait, he bought the drugs though, right? Like, didn't he buy these drugs? Like, what is happening here? Like, they don't understand. On camera, like they saw like the exchange. And so people are like, when were we asking for justice for Michael K. Williams? That was something else too. Like, when were we asking for justice? When were we like engaged in an investigation to find the dealers? Like, they're not used to these things happening because usually the NYPD is not investigating like these things in this manner, right? Like in terms of they've I don't know if they officially said this, but I know that I've seen it on the internet that they were ruling this as like a homicide, even because the drugs that were sold to Michael K. Williams were laced with fentanyl and a whole bunch of other stuff. And so the three, I guess, main points that were really thriving on social media was one, great job NYPD, right? Like, this is amazing. You know, maybe this is like a pathway forward in terms of like drug dealers are going to be investigated moving forward. And, you know, we're going to lock them all up. We're going to lock all the dope boys up and all the kingpins up. And this is going to be a beautiful America. The other group is kind of like, wait a minute, like, what type of privilege is this? Like, my one person actually said my brother died like several months ago off of, you know, bad drugs, right? A laced up a heroin or whatever that he was taking. And it was like laced with fentanyl and some other stuff. And he died. He overdosed or whatever they termed it. But he died off of it. Because I guess it's not really an overdose, right? If it's laced in this, you know, this poisonous, lethal, deadly substance, it's not that you overdosed, you took bad drugs. And so some are wondering, like, well, what about these individuals? Where's justice for them? If, you know, if this wasn't Michael K. Williams, would there even be an investigation of this kind? Like, what is this? So there's that. And then there's the group of individuals who find that this is absolutely ridiculous. Michael K. Williams purchased heroin. He purchased drugs. Now, albeit he didn't know he was purchasing laced drugs, but he knew he was purchasing heroin. And the fact that he went out and purchased these illegal drugs, illegal substances that can be known to kill, the fact that there was even an investigation that people are charged and arrested and all of this happening is ludicrous, because here is a system where we lock up the junkies, quote unquote, and the drug users every day. So what the hell is this? So what are your thoughts on this?
Totally agree. Just kind of like what you're saying, the problem is three pronged. There are situations how do I say this? So what we have here is Michael K. Williams on camera buying heroin. Mm-hmm. First of all, Big Brother's watching, because I don't know how they got that footage. I mean, they got cameras everywhere now. So, I mean, they call him red-handed, call him copping it. Obviously, if somebody's out here intentionally trying to purchase the drugs, then you have to take whatever comes with it. I don't think there's a diet version of heroin or dog food out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. This is what it is. Like, it is deadly. I think them trying to go extra hard is either because he is a celebrity and that he did pass away. Or also they're just trying to find the bigger plug in this whole thing. They're trying to figure out who is the source, who's the real source. So I think they arrested him, but they also arrested him in hopes of getting another big dog taken down. So should be interesting. We do have a person that did pass away from this event, as well as other events. And I think it should be the same approach across the board whenever these deaths do occur. But we do know that these things cost. And I don't know if they would like to put that amount of intelligence on every single drug bust or drug death that occurs.
Right.
So it should be interesting. I don't know. But shout out to Michael K. Williams, RIP, and prayers to his family.
Do you think, though, that the reason that aside from the fact that it could be a celebrity, but you also mentioned it's because they might be looking for, like, you know, the bigger plug, right? So I'm assuming, I guess, if this individual was selling to a celebrity, then he has to be connected. Like, this is not your local corner person who's like, oh, let me go find a celebrity to sell drugs to. But I guess my question is that it took a lot of resources, obviously, to even get this one arrest, right? How feasible do you think, or how likely do you think that this is something that is or can be applied fairly across the board? Like, is this just celebrity treatment moving forward, or is this something that you think the NYPD might be piloting, you know, moving forward to be able to catch drug dealers? We know there's millions of them out there.
Great question. I think with a lot of things, it all comes down to resources. And it also comes down to the media and politics, right? Mm-hmm. If we, you know, like I said, we can't go in to every single case, every single drug death that happens. Mm-hmm. But if a big fish does pass away on New York soil and we have a chance to investigate, then yes, we will do our due diligence to figure out which is which. I think the NYPD, as well as other forces, do have the intelligence to know which leads to follow and which ones not to. I think they have that already in their database somewhere. They know exactly what's going on. But somebody needs to pay. Somebody needs to pay. And I think, I don't see these agencies going super hard and using these resources for every single drug death. But the fact that we had a Black man who was a great actor, who was a native New Yorker, who was an artist, pass away, we have to investigate, and I'm happy they are.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm mixy on it only because I'm happy that they were able to find, you know, the individuals who sold him the lethal death. Because again, whether he was doing this as part of his lifestyle or whatever, I don't believe that he's like, oh, give me the one that's laced with the deadly fentanyl, right? Like, I don't think that that's what he wanted. So, you know, what he was purchasing, albeit illegal or whatever the case is, I don't think that he intended to get what he bought, right? But I think that I do sympathize, though, with individuals who were like in the comment section, you know, giving their personal stories of like their relatives, their brothers, their sisters, their friends who have passed away under the same circumstances. And there was never even an attempt to, you know, investigate. And instead they were criminalized, you know, and basically, you know, seen as, you know, like, listen, it was your fault, right? You took the drugs, you overdosed, that's your business because you bought the drugs. So there wasn't the same sympathy. There wasn't the same care. So I think that although this is an amazing thing in a sense, I think on the other side, though, it's going to be met with a lot of negativity and a lot of criticism because we know that NYPD cannot investigate, and they probably will not investigate all of these cases or even one fourth of the cases that come across their desk that look similar to this, right? So I kind of wonder, like, what if they thought about what the end goal was when they did all of this, and, you know, it's publicized and it's brought to light and it's top news all over the place, what the end goal is, like, what did they anticipate happening from sharing this news and making this public? So I don't know. The people don't seem to be too happy. The people do not seem to be too happy.
It's selective. It looks selective. It looks like, you know, you guys only do this type of work whenever it's a big name.
Right.
But I mean, if you look at it system-wide, it makes sense because, you know, if we investigate every single drug death, then it might lead us to the corner store dealer. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about somebody who has some type of wealth, mm-hmm. then we might be going towards a larger person or larger right. source there. So,
right.
All in all, it's not my lifestyle. Clean lifestyle. Don't come looking for me. It wasn't me.
Oh gosh. I mean, I will say that though. I do think it does send a message though that it is possible, right? I think that a lot of times these bigger fish, I guess, maybe just didn't think that it like, well, why would the NYPD come after me? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not El Chapo. Like, you know, why? But I think that this does show, though, when the NYPD wants to, you know, do what they need to do, they can and will do it. So at least maybe it will send that message, like, think twice, you know, before you maybe engage in certain activity. I don't know. That's wishful thinking, but maybe.
I mean, I think after seeing that video, I'm like, even more understanding that we're not dealing with like a mom and pop operation. We're talking about the NYPD. Mm-hmm. Like when we say intelligence, that's intelligence. Like,
right.
There was footage of, like, imagine what else they have on camera of us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, like, where was Aretha Wednesday at 2 p.m.?
Right.
And there's footage.
Listen, listen, just like you, I live a clean lifestyle, and not just clean of substances. I'm not doing nothing in these streets. In fact, I dare them to show me footage of me being anywhere in these streets. You know, I'm in my house.
Yeah, I'm at work, school, home, church, or a bar or the gym.
That's a lot of places I'll be. That's a lot of places. Like if I'm not home, I'm, you know, maybe at the Brooklyn Commons at my office there or whatever. But that's a lot of places. You listen a lot of places.
Yeah, I'm kind of outside a little bit. I need to chill.
Yeah, you are. Well, you've been saying that you needed to chill for quite some time now, Alvin. When are you chill?
No, but I'm doing. Come on now. No, but I'm doing like positive. I'm at the gym. I'm at work. I'm at church. Like,
and at the bar.
Listen, you know that. Well, anyways.
Yeah. You're outside. It's okay. If you're outside, you're outside. It's okay. Just, you know, we might have to keep doing some Zoom videos though, since you outside. I'm not trying to catch, you know, Deltacron. Deltacron.
Listen. Nah, come on, man. I'm good. Whenever I'm outside, I'm taking precautions, hand sanitizer, masked up, making sure I don't catch this thing because it is a real thing. So you're absolutely right. I do need a chill. I need a chill.
Yeah. Because if not, we're going to be Zooming for a while.
I'm good. I take these tests all the time, though. I'm good.
All right. Yeah. So the last thing I kind of wanted to address was, it's like twofold, right? There's like two dramas in one here. Eric Adams, once again, Mayor Adams, is out here once again being showcased for, I don't know, speaking freely, right? I guess free speech is what most would call it. We talked about him not too long ago when he made that commentary about, I guess, low-skilled workers, you know, which was the comment heard around the continent. But but this time... Yeah. He's back at it again. It looks like they pulled some footage of him at some, I don't know, was it a rally or something? Tell us about that.
I personally think he was probably at like a community meeting, probably like one of these district meetings or whatever, when he was trying to get some votes, or probably when he was running for his Brooklyn post prior to running for mayor. Mm-hmm. And he was just talking. I think there were a lot of Black men in there. And he was talking about, you know, I give these people in the force the same energy they give me. It went viral because now he is the top guy in New York and they got it.
What was the term that he used, Alvin? Are we not wanting to use that term? Because you know what? Because we're going to get it. I guess we're going to get into it, right? Because the next thing we're going to talk about, I guess they got in trouble for kind of doing the same thing, but that's where we're going to ask the listeners, like, what's their viewpoint? But he used the C word towards white people. You know, saltine, fill in the blank, right? You know, animal, you know, yeah. Graham. Yeah. He used the That's C word. Name. He used the C word to describe some white people.
Yeah. Listen. you know, these things are delicate. That's what he did say. You're right.
He said the C word. He said the C word. He was out here in these streets. He went there.
I mean, listen, and you know, with everything, you never apologize for doing the act. You apologize for getting caught.
Right.
And what he's doing now is he apologized. What he really is saying is that he's sorry that he got caught.
Essentially.
And I think he does carry that mentality with him because he did kind of say it with force. And just looking at his background, where he comes from. Yeah. And looking at the people that he's hired at, like, these top positions, yeah, you know, he definitely wants it to be that type of party. But I also know that he has to play the game. There's a lot of games he's playing as well as the top guy, and you have to be political. That's what he is. He is a politician. And I can't wait to see the PCs coming from here now. I want to hear what he has to say now. I want to see how he kind of fixes this or tries to clean it up. So it should be fun, man. I'm just here. I'm just on the sidelines watching everything go. I know what's going on, and people know what's going on. And if you want to get something pushed, you have to know the rules of engagement. So, you know, I'm in the back. I'm watching everything. It's interesting. I want to see what he's going to do about this.
All right. Well, I'm going to definitely probe you more for your opinion on this after we go. I mean, listen, like I want to know your opinion on it. So we're going to put the Eric Adams thing to the side. So let me respect this man, Mayor Eric Adams, because before he was Eric Adams Borough President, Eric Adams, Mayor Eric Adams, you know, so he is there's video footage of him candidly with his chest referring to white people as the C word. Right. And most people do not think that there's anything wrong with the C word. Right. They don't think there's anything wrong with that. They don't think anything wrong with it at all. Like, they don't see it as derogatory and negative and just racially charged. Right. As the N word. And I would probably say, you know, I agree with that, to be honest. I don't think you could put them in the same category, but that's my personal opinion. So now we're going to move on to Mr. Joe Rogan, who everybody's been talking about. Joe Rogan's been, people have been talking about him for a while, but he has, you know, this podcast that has, like, I don't know, 5 million, 500 million. I don't know how many millions of views, but he's very, very popular. Very popular guy, right? So apparently somebody who had time made a compilation of a video that kind of, I think it was like 54 times where he used the N-word throughout his like 12-year career, like podcasting or public speaking. Now, I don't know who has this kind of time. Like, I'm always curious as to the people who have the time to create these types of compilations. Like, who's, you know what I mean? Like, who's paying you?
Who's a kid?
Who's funding you? Like, is this a Kickstarter? Like, how, you know what I mean? Like, who's funding this operation? Like, I'm always curious, because if you're able to, for 12 years to sit down and like find that he said the N-word 50, I think it was about 54 times. Like, this is crazy to me. Like, you have time, or you're being paid. You're on, somebody's paying you well for this. But either way, so he was cited for this. And I think a lot of this came to light because India Ari had made a video and posted that she is pulling her music from Spotify for many reasons. Because of Joe Rogan and his use of the N-word, his candid use of the N-word. And also, I guess, his like COVID commentary. Like, he has certain views on COVID, and like they called it COVID misinformation, was also another reason why she was like, she just like this Joe Rogan thing, like she just cannot. So she was also going, you know, on the fact that he gets paid like hundreds of millions or whatever of dollars, and then the artists themselves get like 0.33 whatever cent, you know, on like cents on the dollar. So yeah, so I understand her frustrations, and I totally support like her for what she's doing. She's an artist. She wants to move a particular way. If that's what she wants to do, I fully support her. If that's the extent that she wants to take it, right? But now there's like all this controversy again, because Joe Rogan came out with a 6-minute, I think, apology video on like, you know, him being sorry and being very apologetic for using the N-word. I don't really care much about his apology, because I know that it's part of the script, right? I guess just like you said with Eric Adams, like, you know, you get, you're sorry that you got caught, not necessarily that you did it or that you said it. And I'm okay with that. Like, these are people's convictions. These are people's viewpoints. You know, like, I am not a fan of people who apologize when they actually don't mean it. If you said it and you stand behind it, that it is what it is for you. You know, that's what you believe. That's what you, you know, you said it with your chest. Don't come and apologize afterwards, unless you truly had a change of heart and was like, wow, I didn't realize. I could understand that. But in the Joe Rogan case, I don't really accept his apology, because I feel like he's an individual in the public space, in the media space. I feel like even with his entourage, his surroundings, like, like, you don't, I think he said, like, he just, like, didn't know that, like, you know, like, he was using it in certain contexts, and he just didn't think that it was going to be a big deal, I guess, for him to, like, use it or to say it, because he was saying it within certain contexts. But as a white man, and I think he said that too, like, I didn't realize, you know, like, that as a white man, I guess now I know that it doesn't matter what context, I can't use it. I don't believe that he didn't know that from before. I don't believe that he didn't know that. I don't believe that he was today years old when he found out that as a white man, I cannot actually say the N-word as opposed to just referring to the N-word as the N-word. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, what are your, because it's not the first time that we've been here, right? Where white people are using the N-word, like, haphazardly, comfortably on public platforms. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, Joe Rogan is obviously a grown man. He is a wealthy man as well. And he knows exactly what he was saying. He knows what he was doing. There are no rules for that. I mean, there's no excuse for that. I also do believe in context as well. We weren't too sure what the context was when he was using these words. Some many people think there's no, you know, it doesn't need a context. Some people do. I would like to know the full context why he was using those words. But in the same breath, I also do agree, you know, this is a very triggering word to use. This word has a lot of history on it, a lot of hate, a lot of blood behind this word. And he needed to be more careful. And I think a lot of, I don't think he was using this word when he was on a Spotify platform. I think he was using this word a lot when he was trying to get on, when he was like doing a lot of these like indie podcasts and indie radio stations trying to get on. I mean, one thing that's kind of coming up is like, you remember Charlamagne? Like, he would like have these guests on a Breakfast Club, and he would like obliterate them, like violate these people. But like, people still come back because it is New York. And I think he built his platform off of that, off of just a lot of ugliness. And of course, you know, that's a lot of people do to get on. So I think that's what, I really think that's what was happening. I think that was the case. So it's just an ugly situation.
Right. I mean, he did provide us context in his 6-minute rant apology. And again, like, he was trying to explain, like, when I said this, but at the end of the day, I am one of those people in this, like, context does matter, yes, but in this particular, I think there are certain things that it doesn't matter the context. You're a white man using the N-word, right? Like, I don't need context. I don't need to know, like, what story you were trying to describe where you couldn't just say the N-word. We all know what the phrase the N-word means. We know what you're trying to refer to when you say that, right? So you now having to say the actual word doesn't add more like, oh, that's what he needs by the, you know, that's what he means by the N-word. That's not one of those situations. And so for me, and because, again, of his position, and I remember I was saying this to you offline, like, he's not, you know, a white man from like the mountains of Wichita or whatever that like never saw a black person in his life, or like he's not like so removed for him to not understand. But now, I guess, going back to the, you know, now juxtaposing, I guess, Joe Rogan's use of the N-word and people being up, you know, up in arms about it, against, I guess, Eric Adams, Mayor Eric Adams' use of the C word, you know, do you find both acts to be the same? Do you find Eric Adams using the C word to describe white police officers the same as Joe Rogan, you know, using the N word to refer to, I guess, whoever the N word belongs to?
It's just crazy, because like, it's just so easy to get like, I don't know, like, I, when you're behind the mic or behind the screen, I just think you should really try to stay away from the inflammatory statements as much as possible. You just really have to really be careful, because people are up in arms. People do have feelings, and people do have different viewpoints on what people say and how, you know, something may be so common for another person, maybe totally disrespectful to another group. So you definitely want to be careful. Is it the same? No, it's not the same. Somebody saying the N-word holds way more weight than me calling you a cracker. I don't want to go back into history, but we know the history of both the terms. We know what the word cracker actually means. It's not a term of weakness or anything. It's actually resembling the sound of the whip. Yeah, you know, used to crack my back with the whip. That's what we called you that, right? The whip sounded like thunder and cracking the skyline. So, yeah, the N-word holds totally more weight. You know, you saying the N-word, it's a problem. And it wasn't like a, as they say, the G-A, it was a G-er. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And it was like, not a.
It was a er. You know, them ers. The birds will get you in trouble outside. You know what I'm saying? So people got to be careful. But I personally would like to know the context as to why he was using these words. I think that'll give us a bigger viewpoint. But all in all, people should just really stay away from inflammatory language, whether you're trying to come up or not. Just be careful, because what's done in the dark will come to light.
Right. No, I figured, like I said, I heard the context and I was still like, no. It doesn't matter. Like, he explained it. He went into detail and explained it, and it did not sit. Like, I'm like, it just doesn't matter. And I still stand behind. I don't give two craps about what your context was in this particular setting. There's no context for that.
Did you hear about this young man in Canarsie who got gunned down?
Which one? The one that got the record deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That was a few blocks away. That was a neighborhood. I mean, I live in Canarsie. Everybody knows. Well, let me not say that out loud, but yeah, I'm from Canarsie.
What block? What block? No.
I had to tell my kids this week during class, because we were, you know, ironically, it is Black History Month, but we were learning about slavery and the transatlantic slave trade, the international domestic slave trade, and things of that nature. I had the article up and I was just talking to them, and they all knew who he was. It was T.U. And it was just kind of like, yo, like the music. I was telling them, like, you have to be careful. I was like, I listen to this music as well, right? Like, this is what it is. But you have to be careful about the energies that you're allowing into it, because there's some people that take this seriously. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. he was gunned down as a result of just whatever he was involved with. And it was unfortunate because, I mean, the music is catchy. You know what I mean? The music is great music. I listen to it. But he did succumb.
I know you do. I know you do.
He did succumb to the content of his music. It's called drill music. It's the drill scene. Drill is not like a running drill. Drill means like drill, like ops. Like, we drill our ops, like guns. Mm-hmm. We drilling. So people just got to be careful. I was telling my kids, I'm like, listen, like, I know you're going to listen to his music. I know you're going to do what you're going to do, but you got to be careful when you're outside. Like, people take this thing for real. So please be careful with the music and the energies you're allowing into it. You know, a lot of the time, the kids, they got church that say demon on it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be careful, man. Like, and that's how they talk. You'd be like, yeah, yo. You'd be like, yo, Aretha was a demon. Like, she was a demon with it. It's like, yo. Chill, like, like, I'm not a demon.
I rebuke you in the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah, man, it's tough, and I it goes back to what I was saying. Like, we just got to be careful with the words we use, because they do have energies. I just want to do a better job of that.
No, I mean, I definitely think we need to do better. But then I think about, like, that's, I mean, our time and the times that these kids are living in are obviously totally, I won't say totally different. They're different to an extent, because some of the stuff that happened back then are happening again now. It's just in a different form, I would say. Social media is here, so it makes things a little more difficult. It makes, you know, things travel faster. Information is obtained, you know, at the snap of a finger. But I think that a lot of it is just, you know, community and parenting, right? Because there were songs that I was singing, I was just like, I didn't even know what the hell I was saying. There were lyrics, you know, that were just as dangerous, that we were just, you know, but we didn't necessarily internalize a lot of it. But I think that it's because there was community, more community, at least for me back then. More people like, yo, what do you know what you're saying? Like, what are you doing? So it's like, we would still listen to the songs, but we weren't necessarily out here so much, acting out as much, because there was people to like either, you know, snap us back into place or like grab us by the neck. And even those who fell by the wayside, you know, they did their time, did what they had to do. And then that was that. Nowadays, I feel like there is a little less guidance, because I think the generation that would be there to kind of help the kids, we're trying to figure our lives out. Like, we're busy. Yeah. We're trying to get things done. So we're not as available to the kids.
We're not reaching back. It's true.
Right.
You're right. I'm actually, yeah, man, you're right. I can't even say too much about that, but you're right. You're right. It's tough.
So, you know, and we're all guilty of it. You know, I had to realize it. I'm like, oh crap. Like, I haven't touched it, even with my younger cousins, even with my church crew, even with like my friends, like who have, like, I was not reaching out in the way that I felt like I needed to. And now it's like, we're seeing the consequence of that. So it's like, how do we go and fix that now? So I think a lot of that has to do with it. Like, there's like, there's culture, and then there's like an education and community aspect to it. And the community aspect is not there, which means the education aspect is not there. So I feel like, if anything, that's what we really need to be focused on. And that's what our arguments and our back and forth needs to really be about. Like, how do we reach back? How do we prevent these kids to like not fall into further holes? You know, yes, the culture is there, but how do we become a buffer? How do we give them the education? That's what I think a lot of us really need to be focused on. And so hopefully, you know, those out of you who are out there who have like community groups, or like you're like a big brother, big sister, you know, to your community, or we're known to be, like, you know, put something together, collaborate, figure something out. And let's try to, you know, like, we're all talking about it, right? Like, what's happening to these kids, but we got to figure out a better way.
For sure. I'm down for any effort. You know what I mean? As they say, I'm in the field, so I see it every day. I'm with the kids every day. I know what's going on. I know what's moving. I know what's happening. I know what the new thing is. You know, I'm tapped in. So I definitely don't want to take more destruction out of the streets, and I want to put more productivity into it. So work in progress.
Definitely. It's always a work in progress, but as long as there's a willingness, right? That's all that matters.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, you know, a lot of times these kids are visual. And I think a lot of times what we're seeing is that these kids are capitalists. You know what I mean? A lot of times they gravitate towards what's shiny and what, you know, who got the bread. That's really all it's about. It's about money. And I think the kids are understanding what this country is all about. And they're gravitating towards ways of getting that, you know what I mean, the fame and the money, and they're trying to do their own thing, and they're trying to figure that part out. A lot of these kids, again, succumbing to a lot of different injuries, some succumbing to a lot of different outcomes because of that pursuit. So just praying for it all, man. We got to get to it the right way, the healthy way.
I feel you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like, you know, I'm tapped out.
It's been a long week. It's been a long weekend. You've been dealing with a lot. Totally understand.
Yeah, so we talked about a lot of different things, I think, today that's just been getting a lot of attention on the Instagrams and the internet. And so hopefully, you know, with everything that we said, like, something resonated. And again, like, you know, the idea is that people, you know, you listen to some of these things and then you go back and then you kind of like form your own opinions, right? Maybe you agree with what RP said. Maybe you agree with what, you know, Albin said. Or maybe you don't agree with, you know, either of us, and you come up with your own opinion. But at least, you know, let's start like thinking a little more about what's happening, and not just like accepting everything, right, that's being fed to us. So,
right, exactly.
Well, with that being said, Albin, I ain't got no more. I have nothing more to say today.
I feel you. I'm with you.
Yeah,
a little bit of a slow day, but yeah, we're here. RP Nation, we're here, man. We're here. Let us know. Leave some comments. Let us know what you guys think about the episode. Talk to us.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to know what you guys think about, you know, the Mayor Eric Adams cracker versus Joe Rogan N-word debacle, fiasco, catastrophe. What do you guys think? Same thing or nah? And you could do so by sending us an email at accordingtorp@gmail.com, or slipping into our DM on Instagram and letting us know your thoughts. But again, with that being said, guys, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Media, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, and your boy.
Good to see you guys.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later, RP Nation.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern.